भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are on Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 11. That was what was told for me. So, we do the word by word Sanskrit. Api naha surdha tata Bandavaha Krishna Devataha Anybody know how to fix this? It's flickering. I can't read with a flickering light. Yeah, that's better. Thanks so much. Not only are you a musician, but you're an electrician. Good. So, getting on, continuing. Drishta, Shuta, Va, Yadvaha, Puriyam, Sukham, Asate. Apina suradastata Krishta shruta vayadvaha Sorry, I missed a line. Let's go back. Bandavaha Krishna devataha Krishtaha shruta vayadvaha Svapuryam sukam asate Apinaha suradastata Mandavaha krishta devataha Krishtaha shruta vayadvaha Svapuryam sukam asate Apinaha suradastata Andavaha krishna devataha Krishtaha shruta vayadavaha Svapuryam sukam asate Please.
Swapuryam sukha masate
Swapuryam
ladies, please.
Abhinasudasaka Bandavatmurahirvata.
That's right.
Jilashudavatava Svargasukhasate
Abhinasudasaka
Bandavatmurahirvata
Anyone else? Synonyms. Api, weather. Naha, hour. Surdaha, well-wishers. Tata, oh my uncle. Mandavaha, friends. Krishna Devata, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Drishtaha, by seeing them. Shrutaha, or by hearing about them. Va, sorry. Either. Yadavaha, the descendants of Yadu. Svapuriyam, along with their residential place. Sukham asate, if they are all happy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So Yudhishthira is speaking now. Vidura has returned from his pilgrimage that he has been making. Vidura is the uncle of Yudhishthira, as well as his four other brothers. Why don't we just turn it off and see if I can read without it? Okay, that's fine. Let's just see. Now, it's not going to last. Okay, well, you lost your electrician status. Okay. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The particular word, Krishna Devata, that is, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, is significant. The Yadavas and the Pandavas, who are always wrapped in the thought of the Lord Krishna and his different transcendental activities, were all pure devotees of the Lord like Vidura. Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord, which was pilgrimage. That's a service. But the Pandavas and the Yadavas were always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure devotional qualities. In other words, they're both absorbed in Krishna, but in little slightly different ways. Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna favorably. Does everybody know what the word wrapped means? Anybody who does not raise your hand. Is that everybody? You don't. Okay. Anybody else does not? Okay. What is the meaning of the word wrapped? No. That's not the meaning. Let's go for another one. Yeah. Wrapped.
Absorbed.
Perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. You're totally into and you're wrapped. You can't think of anything else. Especially musicians, they're totally wrapped when they are playing in the melodies that they are playing and the rhythms that they are creating. So, Either remaining at home or leaving home, the real qualification of a pure devotee is to become wrapped in the thought of Krishna favorably. It's a key word there. That is, knowing well that Lord Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead. That's what favorably means. Also, always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna, but they were... I'm sorry, it looks like I missed a word here, maybe. Kamsa. Yeah, thank God. Absolute person, yeah. Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupal, and other demons like them were also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna. But they were absorbed in a different way, namely, unfavorably, or thinking him to be a powerful man only, in other words, just another human being. Therefore, Krishna and Shishupal are not on the same level as pure devotees like Vidura, the Pandavas, and the Yadavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira was also always wrapped in the thought of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwarka. Otherwise, he could not have asked all about them from Vidura. Maharaj Yudhisthira was therefore on the same level of devotion as Vidura, although engaged in the state affairs of the kingdom of the world. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmaritam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here we have Yudhisthira, who is the nephew of Vidura. Vidura is his uncle. But he's not just another uncle. Vidura is a very special person in the Pandavas' lives. First of all, the Pandavas were all pure devotees of the Lord. They were attached to Krishna. They loved Krishna. They loved serving Krishna. They loved being with Krishna. They loved doing things with Krishna. And Vidura could love them just for that, because he himself loved Krishna very greatly, very deeply, very firmly. We learn from the Shastra that Vidura, in his previous life, was Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the lord of death. And Yamaraj had quite a number of powers. It has already been explained, even yesterday, why Vidura, or what Vidura is doing down here on the Earth planet when normally he's in his Lord of Death planet. I forgot the name of that planet. So generally what he's doing is deciding on whether people who come to him, who are brought to him, should be sent to a lower planet or a hellish planet, which is really low, or they should be sent to a heavenly planet. So he's the arbiter of their fate, where they're going to go. And some of them will just stay on the same planet as Yudhisthira with it. So was the duty of Yudhisthira in his previous lifetime. As we know from yesterday's class, he was cursed to become a Shudra in a very, in this case, royal family. As a result of his being cursed to be a Shudra, then his wife would be a Shudrani. And it was a fact that Shudras, even half-Shudras, would not be allowed to run or rule the kingdom. And Vidura was in a sense a half sudra because his father, who was his father? Vyasadeva. Okay? And he coupled with Ambalika, which is a rather strange, if not humorous, story. Vidura came from the union of Vidura, and Ambalika was supposed to be the person whom he would couple with, but she did not like the look of Vyasadeva. He was rough. He was not ugly, but he was rough. He lived in the forest. He had a certain earthy odor. And generally speaking, princesses are used to men with hair coiffed, beautifully oiled and tended, and taken care of with perfume and nice dress. Whereas Vyasadeva, he came in from the forest, and he had probably a tiger skin or a deer skin. So this was kind of shocking to her sensibilities. She didn't like it. In fact, she did couple with him and gave birth to Dhritarashtra. And that was enough for her. So on the night in which they were to have... it was the request of... the queen mother, Satyavati. So it was the request of Satyavati, the queen mother, that her son was Vyasadeva. He have sexual intercourse not once, not twice, but at least three times to be absolutely certain that if one dies, there'll be another one. And if the second one, there'll be a third one. So this was the idea. And so what happened was that, as I said, Ambalika, I think it's Ambalika. If anybody knows otherwise, please correct me. So there was Ambika, So there was first Ambalika, and then there was Ambika, and then Ambika coupled with Vyasadeva, and that resulted in Pandu. And then the third time, as I said, Ambalika did not want to have anything to do with him. To her, you know, he was low class. However, she asked her maidservant, and her maidservant was a... We shouldn't think of her as low class. These high class maidservants were like almost like Brahmins because they heard the discourses. They were very cultured. They were very mannerly. And not only that, but some of them were highly spiritually advanced, which in this case, I don't remember her name, but Ambalika asked her maidservant, "Would you please pitch in for me? I can't stand to look at him." So she said, "Well, of course." Because she was a devotee. And as a devotee, she loved the idea that she could associate with a person so venerable, so high, so glorifiable. A person who writes the scriptures. So, of course, this was a great blessing in her mind. So she gave birth to... she and Vyasadeva gave birth to Vidura. So it's only natural because the father was Vyasadeva. And the mother was a highly spiritual woman. So only natural Vidura, and also coming from his roots of being the lord of death, Yamaraj, he had a good background, to say the least. So for that reason, he was very useful and beneficial and instrumental in the functioning of the kingdom of Hastinapur. As we know, Dhritarashtra, he couldn't see. And because he couldn't see, it would be impossible for him to rule. He couldn't defend. He couldn't offend. He couldn't do all the things that rulers did. So what happened was that they put Pandu in charge. But then Pandu, as a result of a curse, was cursed to... He had a curse on him, in that he could not. I won't go into the curse. It was done yesterday. The curse was that basically he could not have sexual intercourse with his wife or any woman because of something he did, which was illegal. He was out hunting one day, and there were two deer copulating. And he, in the course of hunting, he decided he would kill the deer. Now, it's perfectly legal, especially for the purposes of losing any sense of fear or anxiety in killing. It was only natural that the king would go out hunting sometimes. And here he was hunting. And the two deer, male and female, it happened to be, but he did not know this, that male and female were actually yogis who had turned themselves into deer for the same prime reason, is that as yogis, they were not able to arouse enough sexual interest in one another. But in the body of a deer, which is an animal body, and which can have that kind of arousal quite easy, so they were in the midst of that. And then what happened is Pandu released several arrows. And he basically killed the female. And then the male was on the way to dying. I think his name was Hindama. And he said, "O king." And the king's, "What?" He said, "O king." So Pandu went over to the deer that was lying on its side, and he picked up his head and he said, "You committed a wrong. You've committed an illegal act." The deer said, "Illegal? How could it be illegal? It's legal to kill deer, and you're in a deer body." He says, "How come you're talking?" And he explained that he was yogis, etc. So he says, "It's legal." He says, "It's legal only when deer are not in the course or in the activity of sexual intercourse. If you kill a deer or two deers in the course of that, this is illegal and you know it." And suddenly slapped his head and he said, "You're right. You're right." He says, "For this infraction, I curse you that the next time you have sexual intercourse with your wife or paramour or whatever, you will die immediately." So when he heard that, he realized he had done wrong. And he spoke to his wives and told them that he has decided to renounce the kingdom and just give it to his brother, and he will live alone, celibate. So they complained. They said, "What do you mean celibate? We're totally sold out to you. We consider you our life and soul. You want us to go back to the kingdom and just be there without you? To serve you in whatever capacity we can. That's our life and soul. Whether we feed you, whether we make any clothes for you, whether we get water for you, whether we bathe you or massage you, whatever service you require, that's what we want." And they said, we don't want to live without you." So he said, "Okay, you can come along." So they did. And they stayed together. And now, Pandu had the option. Well, what is he going to do? He's leaving. Who's going to take over? So his brother, close brother, was Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra, as we know, cannot really rule the kingdom. But there are others who can assist and can help and aid and abet Dhritarashtra. And that's exactly what happened. So Dhritarashtra was made the king, but actually he was an acting king. Not a real king, because the real king was Bhishma Dev, number one, and Vidura, number two. They both were on both sides, and they were guiding him, directing him, helping him. And let's face it, when Bhishma would go into battle, nobody could defeat him. So Who better could you have as a chief general than Bhishma Dev? Vidura, of course, he did not do any ruling, but he could give guidance and he could give counsel. And that's exactly what he did. He gave counsel to Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra would make the decision after being guided by Vidura and Bhishma Dev. So that's what we have there. Now, as I said at the outset, so that we understand how this came about. So Vidura and Bhishma Dev, they were both very active in the process of raising the five Pandavas, because that's another story. But anyway, they were living after a certain age, about 11, 12, 13. They were living at the palace in Hastinapur. So they were trained, of course, in Vedic knowledge. They were trained in love of God. And they were enabled to know that their cousin was Krishna, and that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God. So a fraternity, if you will, or I wouldn't call it that, because Vidura was the uncle, and the Pandavas were the nephews. So they formed a very tight, wonderful, glorious relationship based on the common love of Krishna. And that's what brings them together. As a result of that common love, when Vidura saw and learned that the Pandavas were going to be sent on a vacation, and they were being sent there to be killed, to be murdered, actually. Vidura also had certain powers that most people did not know. One of his powers is that he could look at a face, study it for a few moments, and know the thoughts that the person was emanating. And that's how he found out. Because how would he know? When Dhritarashtra was speaking about sending the Pandavas on a vacation, because they had done a lot of service in the form of fighting, a lot of fighting. So he said, well, you've been working so hard, why don't you go and we'll build a nice little house for you, big house for you, and you can go there and take a year off. You earned it. And he was acting like the good godfather. But really what he had in mind is they were going to kill the Pandavas and their mother. And in doing that, that would now leave the way open for Duryodhana to become the next king. Because in terms of who was legally permitted to be the next king, that would be Yudhishthira, because Yudhishthira, of the children that were born, Yudhishthira was the firstborn. But Duryodhana, he felt, although that's true, Yudhishthira was firstborn, he was born before Duryodhana, but Duryodhana's father, Dhritarashtra, was born before Yudhishthira. So therefore, Duryodhana felt he was being cheated out of a position, but actually he had no right to the position because his father never became the true actual king. He was not qualified. So therefore, for that reason, Duryodhana had it on his mind, in many ways wanted and actually tried to kill the Pandavas. So here was another opportunity to kill the five Pandavas. Send them away for a year, and at a certain time, just kill them. The way that would be done, it would be a house of lac or shellac would be built with various combustible materials or elements in it, and that house of lac would be lit at a certain time that Duryodhana would give the command to one of his servants, who would be living as a servant of the Pandavas. Okay? Parochana, I believe his name was. Yeah, Parochana, you know? So Parochana would be the servant. So here's what happened. Here's very interesting. as it was mentioned yesterday, not only did Vidura know what the plan was to burn the Pandavas to death, although that was discussed in private, but he told Yudhishthira primitive language what was going to happen, so please be careful, be watchful. But he did more than that. When the Pandavas moved into that house, at a certain time, Vidura found out almost 12 months later. So the Pandavas were very relaxed, you know, very easy. At least that was what Duryodhana thought. Pandavas would be relaxed. Nothing has happened. There's no fire. You know. But Vidura, looking at the faces of Duryodhana, not only did he know exactly when he would give the command to light the fire in the building when the Pandavas were asleep. So he knew the date, when, etc. So this information was given to a messenger, and the messenger forwarded it to Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. So they knew the night that the murder would take place. So what did they do to protect themselves? They called a banquet the night before, okay? And they had all the Brahmins coming in, and they were so forth. So all the Brahmins, they came, and they were feasting, enjoying. Everything was going on very nicely, and then they went home. And then that night, what happened was that because the next night was supposed to be the night in which the house is burned. So Yudhishthira or the other Pandavas, they did something what they call one-upmanship. When Purochana was asleep that night, when the banquet had been finished, that night Bhima was sent to the room of Purochana outside, and he lit the window area so there would be no escape there, okay? Then he went around to the front door and he lit that. Purochana had no escape because it would be all smoke, and the smoke would completely, and the door was locked also. So that was the first thing. Second thing, of course, I failed to mention because the story gets a little bit long, but there were six guests that were unexpected there. A mother and her five sons. And they were low-level people, like sudras. And they asked Kunti if they could come for the banquet and come and enjoy. She said, well, yes, but you have to come on this side because the Brahmins were all on the other side. They said, that'll be fine. Anyway, they got stone drunk. They got so drunk that they could hardly walk. But then anyway, walked out. While everyone else was enjoying the festival, they walked out through a corridor, and then they walked into a doorway in which there was a room. It was probably a storeroom of something. So they lay on, and they just plots down on the floor and fell asleep. They closed the door. Nobody knew they had gone out. There was so much revelry going on. You're not looking at everybody who comes in like that. So that was the thing. So here's what happened. So what Bhima did is he lit the fire of this mansion, and it went up in a blaze. And the Pandavas had a tunnel that had been dug by a messenger or a tunnel maker of Vidura. So Vidura had sent, almost a year ago, a tunnel maker. And so the tunnel had been made, and it was already perfect. So once the fire was made and the place went up in a blaze, the Pandavas went down a cellar and into the tunnel and out, and they came out near the Ganges. So, because it's Hastinapur. So he came out near the Ganges, and the place just went up in a blaze. Urochana was killed. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm just about coming to the end. When the fire had ended, when it went down and it was no longer, and the townspeople, they went to see exactly, you know, whether the Pandavas were killed or not, burned to death or not. They looked and they said, oh my God, there are five male bodies which were burned to charcoal practically, undecipherable or unknown by the looks of them, burned to a cinder, so to speak. So therefore the people saw five bodies, male, and then there was a female. So they assumed that the Pandavas had been killed, but the Pandavas, they had gone through the tunnel because they had been warned by whom? Whom? Vidura, yes. So therefore Vidura played a very, very important part in the life of the Pandavas. In other words, they're continuing to live. So everyone thought that the five bodies that were found and the female body, five male and female, that they were the Pandavas. They had about the same build or the same, like, you know, they were burned. So therefore the assumption was that the Pandavas were dead. However, that was not the case. The Pandavas, as I said, had escaped. Vidura had sent a boatman to meet them at the bank of the Ganga. The Pandavas got in the boat. The boat was rowed across the river. And the Pandavas got out. And they began hiking for several miles. And then they just settled temporarily in the forest. And they remained hidden, unknown. Nobody knew where they was except Vyasadeva, of course. And they stayed for at least 1 year in the forest. And then finally Vyasadeva came in touch with them and gave them instructions as to what they should do, where they should stay temporarily, and where they should go from there, which led to the marriage of the Pandavas, well, Arjun winning Draupadi in a Svayamvar, and then ultimately she becoming all their wives, which is another story. So, therefore, as it was mentioned also yesterday, that once it was known that the Pandavas were now alive, that came after about a year, what are they going to do? They had usurped the property of the Pandavas. They, meaning Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and company. So what, they're going to demand property because it belongs to Yudhishthira. He's the oldest. So it was decided among Vidura, Bhishmadev, and Dronacharya, one or two others, that the best thing to do would be to give the Pandavas half of the kingdom. Actually, they deserved the whole kingdom, but they knew that the Pandavas would not put up a battle. As long as they could get half a kingdom and they could defend the kingdom, they could amass new property, there would be no trouble. And what did they give them? They gave him desert-like land and forest, jungle. Well, they took all the opulent areas that where the crops grew, or where there were cows and elephants and everything. So, but the Pandavas even went along with that. You know why? Because they knew they had Krishna, and they knew that Krishna would defend them, help them. And sure enough, on that horrible land, he had it reclaimed, and he called upon the architect of the demigods, who is Vishvakarma. Vishvakarma turned that whole desert land and jungle, he turned it into a beautiful, what you might call, demigod type of place. Some place that would be so beautiful that even Duryodhana would become very envious of it. So that's pretty much why Vidura was so important to the Pandavas. He saved them by getting the tunnel built for them. He saved them by letting them know when Duryodhana would strike, so they could strike a day in advance and avoid that. And that's exactly what happened. And so Porochina was killed, and eventually it was found, it was made public, it was made known that those five bodies that were there and the mother were not the Pandavas. So that's pretty much the story. And Vidura is very, he wants the Pandavas not only to live, but he wants them to rule. That's his. And Duryodhana knew this, and that's why Duryodhana kept harping to Vidura, you always favor the Pandavas. You like them. You prefer them. You want them to take over the kingdom. We're paying you. You're being funded by us. And look what your faithfulness is. You're a turncoat. You betray those who feed you. You don't belong here. You should get out. And that's why Vidura took off and went for, I believe, a year or so on a pilgrimage. And he felt unwanted, but he also felt that he would come back and it would be a blessed situation. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Look at the Yamaloka. Picture look at the Yamaloka.